start first with the Belgic Confession, so turn with me to the back of your Psalter hymnal to Article 22 and Article 23 of the Belgic Confession, page 838 in your Psalter hymnal, as we deal really with the justification of sinners, faith, and also as it applies to justification. Articles 22 and 23, I'll just read those things, and you're invited to follow along, and then we'll turn to our scripture reading, which is from Romans chapter 3. First of all, Articles 22 and 23. The righteousness of faith. Says the Belgian Confession, we believe that for us to inquire the true knowledge of this great mystery, the Holy Spirit kindles in our hearts a true faith that embraces Jesus Christ with all of his merits and makes him its own and no longer looks for anything apart from him. For it must necessarily follow that either all that is required for our salvation is not in Christ, or if all is in him, then he who has Christ by faith has his salvation entirely. Therefore, to say that Christ is not enough, but that something else is needed as well, is a most enormous blasphemy against God, for it then would follow that Jesus Christ is only half a Savior. And therefore we justly say with Paul that we are justified by faith alone, or by faith apart from works. However, we do not mean, properly speaking, that it is faith itself that justifies us, for faith is only the instrument by which we embrace Christ, our righteousness. But Jesus Christ is our righteousness, and making available to us all his merits and all the holy works he has done for us and in our place. And faith is the instrument that keeps us in communion with him and with all his benefits. When those benefits are made ours, they are more than enough to absolve us of our sins. Article 23, the justification of sinners. We believe that our blessedness lies in the forgiveness of our sins because of Jesus Christ, and that in it our righteousness before God is contained, as David and Paul teach us when they declare that man blessed to whom God grants righteousness apart from works. And the same apostle says that we are justified freely or by grace through the redemption in Jesus Christ. And therefore we cling to this foundation, which is firm forever, giving all glory to God, humbling ourselves, and recognizing ourselves as we are, not claiming a thing for ourselves or our merits, and leaning and resting on the sole obedience of Christ crucified, which is ours when we believe in him. That is enough to cover all our sins and to make us confident freely the conscience from the fear, dread, and terror of God's approach without doing what our first father, Adam, did, who trembled as he tried to cover himself with fig leaves. In fact, if we had to appear before God relying no matter how little on ourselves or some other creature, then alas, we would be swallowed up. Therefore, everyone must say with David, Lord, do not enter into judgment with your servants, for before you no living person shall be justified. That's Article 22 and 23 of the Belgic Confession. And then our scripture reading is from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3. We'll read 21 to 26. That's 1750 in your pew Bible. I'll read the passage. I'll say, this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds together saying, thanks be to God. Romans chapter 3, 21 to 26. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Dear congregation, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Some people have never been in a courtroom before. Some people might not even know what a courtroom really is. What is it? The courtroom is the place where you get tried for breaking the law. Let's say you did something really bad. You murdered someone and you got caught. When the police came and picked you up, it's not like they just came along and said to you, okay, that's it. Now you're going to be put into jail for the rest of your life. No, policemen don't really have the authority to do that. The only one who can put you in jail for the rest of your life for committing murder is the judge who presides in the courtroom. That's right. You see, if you commit murder, let's say, all the police can do is place you under arrest. They can charge you, and they can put you in temporary jail for a while, but that's about all they can do. It's up to the court. It's up to the judge in the courtroom to figure out what else they should do with you. Yes, what the court must do, then, is gather evidence. It must try to figure out exactly what happened at the murder scene. Really, what the court has to do is prove that you really are the murderer and that you really do deserve to be punished. After hearing all the evidence, then the judge must decide what to do with you. He can either say, you know what, you're innocent, you are free to go, and then you are free to go. Or he can say to you, you know what, you are guilty, and therefore I will put you in jail for the rest of your life. You understand, you go to jail for the rest of your life only after the judge in the court makes his final decision. Everything depends on the verdict of the last word of the judge. Often, if not always, people who are charged with crimes like murder, they are also given a lawyer. If you are charged with murder, let's say, then your lawyer is the guy who will stand beside you in court. He will help defend yourself in front of the judge. If you say, for example, that you are not a murderer and that the police got it all wrong, then the lawyer is the guy who will defend your case before the judge. He's the guy who will ensure that the court will be fair to you. All of this is what takes place in the courtroom. Now, why am I telling you all this? Well, if truth be told, it's so that I can better explain to you the doctrine of justification. That's right. Justification, you see, is what Articles 22 and 23 are all about in the Belgian Confession. And I can think of no better way to explain to you the doctrine of justification than by first talking to you a little bit about the courtroom. Justification, you see, is actually a courtroom term. That's right. It's a legal term. It's a courtroom term. It's a term judges use in court. Put it this way, congregation, I want you to imagine that you are now in God's heavenly courtroom. Imagine you standing there before God, who is the judge of heaven and earth. You are charged. You are charged because you have sinned. You have broken God's law. God's law demands that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, that you love your neighbor as yourselves. But you don't do that. You don't do that. And neither do I. And so here's the question. What will the judge do with us? There's only one of two things he can do with you. You can either be condemned, you know, be declared guilty, which will land you up in jail for eternity, or you can be justified. What is justification? Justification is God's gracious decision. It's God's declaration that you are forgiven, that you are righteous, and that you are free to go. That's justification. Notice what justification is then. It's a courtroom declaration. It's the judge's final verdict. That you are forgiven, that you are righteous, and that you are free to go. I think of Romans 8, Romans 8, verses 33 to 34, Paul says, "It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns?" Notice the two words there, justifies and condemns. Those two words are polar opposites. In God's courtroom, you can either be condemned, that is, God's verdict is against you, or you can be justified, that is, you have God's verdict in your favor. The question now is, in God's heavenly courtroom, how can we be justified? There's the question. I mean, we do sin. We all sin. No one here is innocent. So how do we get a positive verdict from the judge? It's interesting what people are willing to try to win justification in God's courtroom. Some people try to make a deal with God. They try to buy it. They will say, "Judge, let me pay for it. How much does it cost? $1 million? $2 million? More? I'll pay whatever it costs." Other people, since they don't have that kind of money lying around, will try to obtain God's justifying final verdict in other ways. Some people try to work for it. That's what Martin Luther tried to do before he finally discovered the gospel. He thought, the more I feed the hungry, the more I go to church, the more I study the Bible, the more maybe God will be happy with me and say, "Okay, out of pity, I'll let you go." Congregation, you understand, there's nothing we can pay. There's nothing we can do from ourselves to obtain a verdict of not guilty. Actually, the more we try to pay, the more we actually make it worse. And so, this is the thing. We are guilty. We deserve to be condemned. And you know what, congregation? We are condemned unless we have a very good lawyer. And this is where Jesus Christ comes into the courtroom picture. Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's our lawyer who stands by our side, who speaks on our behalf before the judge in the courtroom. Yep, Jesus Christ is the only lawyer in the entire universe who can help. Notice what Christ the lawyer does. Actually, he does pretty well everything. First of all, he obeys the law perfectly on our behalf. We should obey the law, but since we don't, Christ does it all for us. Second of all, he pays for our sin. He atones for our sin. He goes into jail. Actually, no, he goes into the electric chair for us. He pays for our sin. And third of all, he shares his righteousness. He transfers his perfection and his righteousness to us so that in the eyes of the judge, we are perfect, righteous, and innocent. So this is how it goes. Christ enters the courtroom, so to speak, and he says to the judge, "Your Honor, I ask that you justify my client. I ask that you declare him innocent, that you let him go. I have obeyed for him. I have paid for his sins with my life, and I share my holiness and my righteousness with him. He's mine. Please give a positive verdict. Please declare my client justified." And you know what, congregation? That's exactly what God does. God the judge, he looks at you through the person of Jesus Christ, and he declares you justified. Two things involved in justification. There's a negative thing and a positive thing. And negatively, God forgives you. He lets your sin go. He no longer holds it against you, but allows Christ to take it away. And positively, in justification, God declares you righteous. He looks at you through Christ and sees Christ's righteousness in you. That's how we are justified. The all big question now then is this. Congregation, how does Christ Jesus become our lawyer? How does Jesus Christ become your advocate so that before the judge you can be declared righteous? How does that happen? There's the big question, and there's only one answer. It's faith. It's faith in Jesus Christ, true faith in Jesus Christ. Faith connects us to Christ, and through Christ, we are justified. Paul talks about this in our text for today from Romans 3. In Romans 3, Paul talks about how we can be declared righteous and innocent in God's heavenly courtroom. Justification is not by works. We cannot earn salvation by ourselves. It's all only by faith in Jesus Christ, writes Paul. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and all are justified freely. That is, they're given a positive verdict by his grace, the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. So notice what saves then. Notice what justifies. It's only faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else. It's not faith in Jesus Christ and a little bit of something else. It's not faith in Jesus Christ and a few extra works. It's not faith in Jesus Christ and a good reputation. It's not faith in Jesus Christ and being a minister. It's not faith in Jesus Christ and a little bit of luck either. No, sir. Not when it comes to justification. Not when it comes to standing before the judge. Only faith in Christ gives us a positive verdict. Note our calling in life, then. Our responsibility is to believe. It's to believe in Christ, absolutely. Yeah, faith is a gift of God. It's applied by the Holy Spirit, but is no less a human responsibility. Faith is something we have to be involved in. We have to believe. We have to turn to Christ. I like the way the Belgian Confession describes faith in Article 23. According to the Belgian Confession, faith involves a certain attachment to Christ, a certain grasping of Christ, holding on to, clinging to Christ. Says Article 23, the Apostle says that we are justified freely or by grace through redemption in Jesus Christ, and therefore we cling to this foundation which is firm forever. I like that. There's this idea that we can see Jesus Christ standing right there beside us in the court of law, and we cling to him. And we say, yes, you're my advocate. You're my lawyer. You are my salvation. You are my all in all. There. That's faith. It's more than just believing certain biblical teachings. No, it's relationship. It's holding on to Christ as he holds on to me. Not that our faith actually does the saving. No, not at all. Christ, he saves. Christ, he does it all. Faith, why, that's only the connector. It's what unites us to Christ so that we are in him. So that he saves us and so we are justified. Now, congregation, it's clear that justification is very much a courtroom term. But in saying that, it's not like we actually have to stand up before God to judge us sometime, to get justified. It's not like we actually have to appear before God holding on to Christ, who is the lawyer, to await some kind of verdict. No, we use this courtroom language, this courtroom imagery, only to really understand what justification means and how it works. But please don't think that we have to wait, let's say, for judgment day, let's say in the future, to find out if we are justified or not? No. We can know if we are justified right now. Scripture is clear that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ right now, if we cling to him, to use the language of the Belgian Confession, right now, then right now, God, the judge, declares to you that you are perfectly justified right now. There's no need to wait. We can know it right now. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved. And the point of judgment day? The point of judgment day is not for God to figure out what he's going to do with you. You can know that now. The point of judgment day is for God to proclaim his victory and to show to the world who he has justified by his grace and who has not. That's why the church has a huge obligation right now. Our obligation is to preach. It's to preach the gospel. My job is to proclaim to you Jesus Christ. My job is to tell you that if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you hold on to him and you pray, Father, put all my sin on him and save me through him, then you are justified. May you live thankfully. May you live joyfully. May you live obediently in praise to God who justifies freely in Jesus Christ. Amen.